Welcome to the Mac Observer's Daily Observations Podcast. I'm Jeff Gamet. Today is Thursday, July 16th, 2015. And with me today, I have my troublemakers in residence, Kelly Gumont. How are you?
I've been rousing rabble since early this morning. How are you?
I would expect nothing less. And I'm doing well. Thank you. Also, John Martellaro. How are you, John?
I am good, and good morning, Kelly. It's nice to be with you and have the A-team back together again.
I love it when a plan comes together.
Yes.
Yeah, don't we all? Yeah. Hey, speaking of plans coming together, our listeners, I gave you, dear listeners, a question yesterday, which is, how are you using your iPod Nanos? And for those of you that may have missed yesterday's show, first, shame on you. It was a really good show. Go back and listen. But before you go back and listen, I know you'll end up finishing today's show. So here's the backstory. We talked yesterday about the new iPod Nano, iPod Shuffle, and iPod Touch coming out. And through the course of the conversation, John and Bob Levitis and I came to the realization that we're not exactly sure how the iPod Nano fits into Apple's lineup anymore. And so I asked you, how do you use the iPod Nano? And you responded, which was absolutely awesome. So I wanted to share some of those responses today because they all absolutely make sense to me. And John and Kelly, I want your feedback on these too, because I'm betting that you guys will have something to say. So how about if I start with a comment that I got from Twitter? And mm-hmm. This is from listener Marky Mark. Hey, Mark, thanks for sending me a message. And what he says is, I use the iPod Nano because I cannot work around magnetic devices in a clean room. I lost my 6th-gen Nano and just got a 7th-gen. Totally makes sense.
Yeah.
So
that's a smart way to go.
Yep. So the special technical niche areas absolutely make sense, and something that I should have thought about, but didn't. So thanks, Mark, for that. And then got some interesting emails. This one is from Scott, and he has two experiences. One is personal and one is retail, because he actually worked in an Apple store for a while. And he says that his wife loves her Nano, but that she didn't like the Shuffle. And what she wanted was something that was small, that she could take to the gym, and she likes to be able to have an easy way to select different types of music for the different types of activities that she does. So the Nano was a much easier device for her to use. What he says, in part, is the Nano allows her to have more music available in different playlists. The added benefit of the Nano is the radio feature, and this came up more than once. The radio feature for times when you need that type of access. So the Nano is smaller than the Touch and has a radio, but also allows for playlists. So the playlist thing was something that came up as well. And that's not something I had really thought about. But then again, with my Shuffle, the way I use it, I pretty much pick a playlist, put it on there, and then set it to Shuffle. And when I want something different, I put a different playlist on.
That's exactly what I do, Jeff.
But if you want to have multiple playlists, the Shuffle is a really poor choice.
Yes.
Right.
So now Scott also offered his other perspective, which is as a former Apple Store specialist, so say a floor salesperson. And for that, he says, I had many customers interested in the Shuffle because they just want their favorite songs available all the time with a simple interface. And he says, think grandma and grandpa. Mm-hmm. The Nano seemed popular with uses similar to my wife and parents who want a music player without apps for the kids, which is interesting because I was always thinking, if you're getting an iOS device for your kids where you don't want them to have a phone, you would want to get them an iPod Touch just so they can have other apps. Hadn't occurred mm-hmm. to me that that some parents would want their kids to have access to music, but not other apps.
Right.
So perfect. There you go.
Perfect.
So, Scott, that was awesome, and thank you very much. All right, I have a couple others that I wanted to take a look at. This one came in as an email, and this is from Rick. He says he carries his Nano with him everywhere, and he hopes they don't go away. And he says that he would never replace his Nano with an iPod Touch because of the size and because it would be redundant to his iPhone, at least for many features. And he says he uses his Nano mostly for audio dramas that he downloads from iTunes. And I thought that was interesting because so many people look at these devices just as music players, but audio dramas. And on a side note, have either of you guys heard any of the Doctor Who audio dramas?
Yes, no. I love Big Finish.
These are awesome people. If you are into science fiction, and especially if you're into Doctor Who, you need to track down the Doctor Who audio dramas. They are done so well. And what they did, or what they do, because they're still making these, they go back to the original actors who played the Doctor for whatever era the story is going to be in, and they do their character for the audio dramas. It's absolutely wonderful.
Yeah, it's not an approximation. That's one of the things that makes them notable, is it's actually the same actor that played the Doctor on television who's playing the Doctor in the audio, which I think is great. One of the things that I think is great about the Nano, I too hope that it doesn't go away. And the reason I don't think it will is because I think people, as the phones continue to expand, it gets harder to slap that sucker on your arm and jog. And remember, everybody had their iPhone 4 on their arm. You sometimes see a 5, but I rarely, if ever, see a 6 on somebody's arm when they're making a lap. I live near a park that has a trail around it, and I basically don't ever see anyone with a 6. What I see is people that I presume have a 6 or a 6 plus, and they're jogging with a Nano or a Shuffle. Like, you can see that clip to their shirts or whatever.
Kelly, I'm going to say the two forbidden words. Belt holster.
I would think that would be really hard to run with because you'd have to be wearing a belt. It's one of the things that I have noticed is that I don't see a lot of people jogging with a 6. So, I assume that in gyms you would probably see the same thing. Maybe people are holding on to that previous phone or using a Touch or a Nano with a screen in order to switch playlists, you know, if you have something that you want to use when you're warming up and the music you want to listen to when you're at you know, top sweat producing, and then, you know, to kind of chill out afterwards. So I think for a lot of people, it's an attractive option. You don't need 128 gigabytes or anything like that, like you might with your phone, because your phone is doing so much more stuff. So for a straight music player, that seems like a really attractive option for a lot of people. And I mean, that's what I use mine for. Mine is primarily to play music in the kitchen. I have a little speaker that with the little 30 pin dock in it right in the front, and I just drop it on there, and it basically lives there all the time. And then I bring it to my computer and put more music on it, and then I take it back upstairs.
That's a good point, Kelly. Spot locations for music. Like, I keep a Nano in the console of my car, mm-hmm. and every time I turn on the car, there it is. I don't have to fuss with it. It's just always there.
Yeah.
You know, funny you should say that, John, because Bob, one of our other listeners, hey, Bob.
Hi, Bob.
Everyone drink. There are people of a certain age that totally get what that means. All right, so Bob, he said that he uses his iPod Nano in his car as well, and that one of the considerations he had when he purchased his car was whether or not it had an iPod hookup in it. So in this case, there's a USB port in the center console, and then he has just a short little 3-inch USB cable that he plugs into that, and then his iPod Nano connects to that, and he says the small size fits nice inside the console, and every few weeks I take the iPod Nano out, update the podcasts, and then it goes back in my car. And he adds, I tell people my car is the most expensive iPod accessory I have purchased, which I think is absolutely awesome. Also, he noted, as well as a couple other people, that because the Nano has, I'm mixing people up. A couple people mentioned that the Bluetooth in the Nano was important for them as well.
Yeah. Because that's a nice way. That's also a nice way to hook up to your car. If that's something that you have, is you're able to use that Bluetooth audio, or you can hook up to a wider variety of speakers that way. Some Bluetooth speakers don't have the headphone jack capability where you can plug into them straight with a wire. So it's nice to have that option for things that use that. And then also, if it's got Bluetooth, you can use Bluetooth headphones with it. And again, if you're jogging, then you don't have to worry about a cable flapping everywhere.
Yep, there you go. All right, so now there's one other email that that I wanted to touch on before we move on. And this one comes from our listener, Crawl, who wanted to note why they think that Apple Music is not an option on the iPod Nano or the iPod Shuffle. And I'll just read this. Listening today to today's Daily Observations, it hit me why Apple doesn't let iPods other than the Touch have Apple Music. You might not ever give it back. Once you download a song to your iPod, it's yours until you sync again. And if you stop paying for Apple Music, that song could be there for months with no one making any money from it.
That's true.
Mm-hmm.
And playable, because there's no way for anything to reach in and go, hey, you're not subscribed anymore.
Yeah,
and those clever guys at Apple, they think of everything.
Until you sync it, yeah.
Yeah, so I thought that was a very interesting idea on why we don't have Apple Music on the Nano or the Shuffle. And I'm wondering if that really is the reason. It makes sense. I mean, I know both devices have a clock in them, so you could use like a time limit on songs so that you have to sync periodically. Otherwise, they just the DRM times out and they stop working. Although, of course, there's ways to work around the clock. So maybe this is the best solution. You just don't allow the music.
Just don't even bother. Yeah.
Yeah. So.
Well, and it's also, I think, the experience. On the Nano, it would be okay. Less so, I think, on the Shuffle. As far as managing what you actually want to be listening to on a Shuffle now, because they don't even have a screen, that's really hard.
Yeah,
so
that's true.
I think that has a certain amount of weight as well, is that this is just not as good an experience as it is on something with an actual screen where you can go, no, I actually want to listen to the Pet Shop Boys. I want to listen to Chromeo. I want to listen to Matthew Good, you know. It's easier to navigate those things when you have enough screen to worry about. And so you can almost see it on the Nano, but it totally makes sense why they wouldn't do it. And I think that agreements with labels are why.
That seems totally reasonable. All right. I mentioned earlier, we have a sponsor this week.
Yay.
And our sponsor is Harry's, the Razor People, Harry's.com, HARRYS.com. And I'm actually really happy that they're one of our sponsors. I shaved this morning just so that I would look good for all of you, our listeners. And, and I did it with a Harry's razor. And it was awesome. I love that the Harry's razors, and I've actually done this comparison, like really, because I'm kind of obsessive about razors. I've always used, well, for a long time, I've used a safety razor because it was far more economical than going to the store and buying the ridiculously overpriced cartridges for the razors I was using before. And the blades were far superior to what I was using when I was buying stuff in the store. So mm-hmm. when Harry's came along, I gave that a shot, very skeptically, I will admit, and came away very pleasantly surprised because the blades that they have are so superior to anything I have ever used in a retail store setting. Mm-hmm. And the prices are excellent. So I can pick up a pack of Harry's blades for a fraction of the cost of what I would spend if I went to the local drugstore or grocery store or Target or Walmart, wherever. I'm going to be able to get my blades so much cheaper from Harry's, and I don't even have to go to the store. They will just send them to me. So mm-hmm. how cheap are we talking here? Well, okay, just to get started, you can get the starter kit, the one that I have, the Truman, which is the handle, a few blades, a little travel cover that goes over the head of the razor, and shaving cream or shaving lotion, whichever you prefer. The whole kit is $15, and that's it.
Wow.
Yeah, and then you can set yourself up so you're getting replacement cartridges and other supplies on a set schedule, or just go and order what you need when you need it. No big deal. And you're only spending a few dollars to get several really good blades. And they make their own blades. And for them to be good enough for me to rave like this, they have to be really good. And they are. So you should go check out what they have and get yourself a starter kit and get yourself a really good shave. Even better, use the discount code TDO, and that's going to get you $5 off your first purchase, so you can get that $15 starter kit for $10. You can't even buy a couple crap blades at the grocery store for $10, but you can get the whole Harry's kit for $10 right to your door. So go to their website, harrys.com, use the discount code TDO, and get yourself a shave that's just as awesome as the one that I have today. And thank you, Harry's, for being our sponsor.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, the other thing I wanted to look at today came from an issue that I had yesterday. And here's how this story plays out. So I get up in the morning, and my iPhone has been charging overnight, so it has a full charge. I unplug the charge cable. I see that my iPhone is at 100%. I set my phone on my desk, and just the way yesterday worked out, I didn't have any phone calls all morning long, which is really weird, but there you go. I didn't use my iPhone for anything. It just sat on my desk, untouched, and I was handling all my text messages and emails and everything else from my Mac. About 4.5-ish hours after I set it on my desk, I pick it up so that I can check. I don't even remember what it was. I wanted to check something on my iPhone, and the screen's blank. I can't get it to come up at all. I'm hitting the home button. I start hitting the power button. Nothing is happening. So I finally plug my iPhone into a sync cable, and the battery is completely dead, like gone dead, totally drained. And that was really less than 4.5 hours. So that was kind of crazy. Once I had enough of a charge back on my iPhone where I could open it up and start looking at what was going on, I found that I had one application that was not being a good power citizen. And it turned out to be Facebook, and the Facebook app over a 24-hour period had used over 80% of the battery compared to all the other apps. The next closest app was Tweetbot, which had used like 6%. And how did I figure this out? Well, I wrote about this in the afternoon because I was so annoyed that this had happened at all. Melissa Holt, one of our tip writers, she wrote a tip almost a year ago about a new feature that was added to iOS 8, which is how you can look and see what apps are using your battery. Mm-hmm. So what you do is you tap on settings on your iPhone, you go into general, then you go to battery usage, and from there you'll see your standby time, your usage time for your battery. You'll see a list of the apps that have been using your battery the most. And what I saw right there was Skype. Or excuse me. It's funny that I would say Skype because it can be a battery hog also. Facebook. Skype's off the hook this time. Facebook. It was Facebook. And it was like 83%. And right below where it said Facebook, it said background activities. So what that meant was even though I wasn't actively using Facebook, it was very actively doing stuff in the background, and it killed my battery.
You know what I wonder, Jeff?
What?
If iOS is smart enough to log that Facebook is using 82% of your battery, why isn't it smart enough to shut Facebook down at a certain point, preserve your battery life, and say, okay, user, Facebook is using up all your battery life. Do you want to let it continue? I'm going to shut it down if you don't.
No one is allowed to shut down Facebook, John.
I'm sorry. Oh, by agreement, by contract. I'm sorry. You're right.
Yeah, there you go.
Talk nice, because I can hear them coming up your driveway.
Uh-oh.
I think... So let me point out, because this was the first thing I asked Jeff when we were talking about this earlier. This is the Facebook app. If you have the Facebook app installed, this is the thing that's gnawing on your battery. So... it gnaws on my battery, gnaws on everybody's battery. I can almost guarantee that virtually everyone who has the Facebook app installed is going to have exactly the same experience, Jeff, that you did, which is that Facebook is at the tippy top of the list. And then if you add up all the other apps that have used any battery, they still won't add up to whatever it is that Facebook has consumed. So my tip for this to help save battery life is if you don't need it, uninstall the Facebook app. If you can do the stuff that you want to do by going to Facebook.com in mobile Safari, then power to you. Because this is basically how I solved the problem of Facebook is using the bulk of my battery. The bulk of my battery use can be attributed to Facebook. I uninstalled the app because I don't even use it that much. And so for me to go load up the web page once in a while when I have my phone and want to look at it works just fine. So that was my initial solve. But it's good to keep track of that stuff and be able to see over time. So like look at it today, see what the top few apps are. And if you go, yeah, you know, that's where I spend most of my time. Then if you're a person who, you know, makes a lot of phone calls, you'll probably see your phone app at the top of that list. Or if you do a lot of email communication while you're out and about or text communication, you should see those at the top of the list. The stuff that you use the most should be the things that are showing up at the top of that list. And you may end up running into trouble if you find that what you use the most is not what's using the most battery, which was Jeff's case.
Which is my case. Now, when I look now, and keep in mind, I have not launched Facebook since I went through all of my troubleshooting and restarting and... Mm-hmm. So Facebook now is showing 50% of my battery use over the past 24 hours. Now, that doesn't mean that half of my battery for the last 24 hours has really gone to Facebook. This is a percentage. So earlier in the day, it was using the majority of my battery. So this is a rolling average over a 24-hour mm-hmm. period. So that number is right. going to continue going down. And by tomorrow, it will be substantially lower. When I look at my 7-day usage, Facebook is still the top by far. It's at 42%. And then the next app, which I use a lot, is Tweetbot. That's at 14% for a 7-day mm-hmm. window. And for the last 24 hours, Tweetbot's only 5%.
Yeah.
So, yeah, Facebook
so I use
was my culprit.
Messages and... I use Messages a ton. I use Twitterific a ton. And I use Safari for lots of things. So for the last few days, that's what the top of my list has looked like. And this is a good thing to occasionally look at. You don't necessarily have to obsess. This isn't something that... that you necessarily need to spend a bunch of time losing sleep over. If you are looking for ways to conserve battery, I did write that up. There is a guide on things that you can do to improve your battery and also verify if you are having a battery drain issue. A lot of people think they are, but if you are doing something that takes a lot of battery, like I have a game, Disney Tsum Tsum, and if I play that a bunch in a day, it's a big hit on my battery life. So, and I can tell that, like that's a very that's a corresponding relationship. So you kind of want to make sure that you are actually seeing a battery problem. But the rest of the time, you just might want to look in on that occasionally and see, you know, like if you're somebody who doesn't use Facebook all the time and you find that it is running away with all of your battery life, then you may want to take some steps around that for whatever reason. So,
Kelly, I think one of the good things to look at is the background app refresh for all of your apps. If you go to settings and then general and you go to background app refresh, I have it turned off and it works well for me, but I tend to let apps run, and it's amazing when I double-click the home button, double-tap the home button, and see all the apps that I've launched and let run. If you have a dozen apps that are still running and they're all doing background app refresh, you can really drain your battery.
But the thing is, when you double-tap home, there's no indicator there that those are using battery. That's all. Some of it is just,
yeah, that's true.
I've launched this lately. There's no indicator. That was something I was hoping we would get with iOS 9 that apparently isn't happening. This is actively using your location or actively using your battery in some way. Like, this app is still continuing to run. Like, I would expect if I'm streaming Apple Music and then do other stuff on my phone, if I double tap the home button, I'd like there to be an indicator that Apple Music is still doing something where the stuff that I'm not using right now isn't.
Yeah, but my point is that you really have to figure out which apps really, really, really need to do background app refresh. And if they don't need to be doing it, you might as well just turn the whole thing off at the control button at the top and not let any of them do it and see how your battery life goes.
Right. And there are some apps that have not been, so there's sort of three states for usage. There's while you're using the app, it's gonna do stuff. And then there is if you are not actively running the app right now, but it can do something in the background. And then there is sort of the binary state of, like, if you're not doing anything with it, it can't do anything at all. And some apps need that. Like, if you're using a navigation app, you may want that to be able to refresh your location in the background. But not everything has been coded to do that yet. So some stuff either wants access all the time or absolutely no access. So when you walk through that background app refresh, that'll give you the opportunity to see which ones are which. And you may end up unexpectedly gaining a bunch of battery life as a result.
Which would be awesome.
Yeah.
And we're out of time.
Oh.
I know. We are so out of time. Thanks both of you for joining me today. It's absolutely great to have you here. And listeners, thank you for all the feedback that you gave us on iPod Nanos, because I clearly wasn't getting all of the really useful ways that you guys were using them. So thank you for that. And head over to the iTunes store, please, and rate the show, because I love getting all kinds of feedback from you guys, and it makes it so much easier for other people to find us when you guys are giving us ratings. And Harry's, thank you so much for being our sponsor this week. Head over to their website, harrys.com. Use the discount code TDO. Get yourself a nice discount on a new Razer starter kit from them. And we'll see everyone again tomorrow.